Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Let's start off by praying. Father God, thank you so much just for the chance to be here and just to do a deep dive into your word and to what it's trying to say to us and what you're trying to say to us tonight. So Father, I really pray that people will open their hearts and let you examine them tonight, Lord, that the word that you've given me to share will speak to them, that they will take it away from tonight and look at it throughout the week, Lord God, and that ultimately through all of this that your name will be glorified, we pray. Amen. All right, let's go. So, as some of you may know, because I've talked about it a lot, my husband and I just went on a trip to New Zealand. Beautiful, beautiful country. We spent 3 weeks traveling around and just enjoying the scenery, enjoying the mountains and the lakes. And for me, that's what I associate with New Zealand. It's the scenery, it's the mountains. But for some of you, and my husband included, I'm sure that you associate New Zealand with a certain series of movies called Lord of the Rings. Now, whilst for me the scenery in those movies was much more appealing, I know a little bit about the storyline of this movie, and we did search out some of the spots. Couldn't tell you what they were or where they were in the movies, but we definitely went searching for some of those moments in this movie. And essentially the crux of the movie is that it's a quest to return and destroy a powerful ring. And this ring, whoever holds that ring, eventually becomes essentially overwhelmed and transformed by desire for that ring. Now, the word desire in the dictionary means strongly wishing for or wanting something. And as you watch the movies or read the books, if you ever have, you can almost sense the desperation of these characters' desire as they want and they wish for the ring and its power, and that the effort they put into pursuing that desire to get the ring. Now for me, as I said, creation really speaks to me, speaks to my heart. And so whilst we were away just enjoying the mountains, I'd been dwelling on this concept of desire and desires of our hearts and just allowing God to speak to me and teach me and search my heart in this. And it's been a bit of a journey for me this summer. And then we came back to hear that the topic for this year was pursuing Jesus. And after hearing a few of the preaching over the last few weeks, it was really exciting for me to think that I'd been sitting and dwelling on this concept and then been able to share it with you tonight. So, I'd like everyone to open to Psalm 37, and we're going to have it on the screen, and I actually want you to keep it open in front of you tonight, because we're going to jump in and out a lot, and I really feel that it's really good if you can see it in front of you as we go. So, I'm just going to read from the first verse. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. Now, I'm sure you've heard this psalm before. It's actually called a maskil, which is like a teaching psalm or a psalm intended to bring wisdom. And verse 4 is the most well-known one. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm sure you've heard that before. And often we quote this verse as a reassurance that God will come through with what we are hoping for as long as we're focused on him. But there's a problem with what I just said. God will come through with what we are hoping for as long as we're focused on him. And so often we subconsciously read this verse through the lens of that last line, if I can have 1 to 4 up there, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So often we read this verse with the lens of that line first, and we approach it almost transactionally. If I want the desires of my heart to be fulfilled, then I must delight myself in the Lord, praising and worshipping him. And I can remember thinking on this verse as a teenager, thinking about my goals and my dreams for future in life. And that's exactly what I thought about it. I was like, hey God, here's my shopping list of things that I want to achieve and do and see in life. And I would dutifully remind myself that as long as I was putting God first, he promised to fulfill those things. And that sounds reasonable. But the things that I wanted weren't necessarily bad things, but I actually had it all wrong. Because if we approach this verse from the perspective of that last line, we just lose the whole point. We start on the wrong foundation, which is our desires. So I don't have a title for tonight because I couldn't come up with one. So you can call it desires or delight or whatever you want, but I do have a subtitle for you. So pull out your notes. So my first subtitle for you is align your desires away from the world. And so where do we start about learning about the right foundation? And it's right back in verse 1. So we'll keep verse 1 up there. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. And then verse 2, for like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Now the Hebrew word for fret here means to burn with anger. And God's saying in this verse, don't burn with anger and envy at the prosperity of the wicked. And so why are we envious here? Why are we jealous? Because life isn't fair. Big news there. Here you are, you're doing all the right things, you're going to church, you're reading your Bible, you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you're being nice to that annoying co-worker, you're not getting mad at the forward drive that pulled out in front of you. And then what happens? You've done all these things, and then those who prosper and get to their destination faster and get promoted are the ones who are doing the wrong things, not you. And that's unfair, right? And when I think back to Lord of the Rings, back in New Zealand, there's a character that I'm sure you've heard of, Gollum, and he's like a twisted and almost a pitiful creature whose sole existence has become dependent on finding that ring. Now, this ring was evil by nature. I don't think I'm doing any spoiler alerts by telling you that. And you learn about Gollum's story, and that as you find out that he was actually once almost a human creature with a very sound mind. But upon encountering that ring, his overwhelming desire for the ring eventually corrupted his character and changed his physical form until he just wasted away. And now I want you to look at the next part of that verse, the words wither and fade. These people's foundations in this verse is their desires. It's what they want. And the interesting thing is here is that when those desires are fulfilled, when those goals are achieved, they're actually all temporary. They wither and they fade away. Colossians 3 verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. See, desires founded in the world don't last, despite how good they might look at the time. There's plenty in the Bible that warns against desires of the flesh. And Gollum's case, it was a desire for power, but other desires such as lust and greed, wealth, comfort, social reputation, body image, all of these desires are very real for us. I'm not going to go into detail on those particular ones tonight, but the warning we see here is that God's calling us away from them, and he's reminding us that they're not going to last, and he's calling us to align our desires away from those worldly desires. So subtitle number 2 for you is align your desires with his desires. So verse 3, jump back into the word, says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. So firstly, there's 2 commands here. Number 1 is that we're commanded to trust in the Lord. And the Amplified Version says, trust, rely on and have confidence in the Lord. And this means to trust his character, to trust his will, to trust his ways, to trust his commands, and to trust his truth. And then the second command we have is to do good. And this is an action. This is taking what we've just said that we trusted, God's will, God's ways, and then it's outworking it to live out righteousness to bring him glory. It's taking God's way and wanting to make it our way. And it's a subtle difference, but it's one I really want you to understand tonight, is that this psalm is telling us to align our desires with God's desires. And we need to let go of what we want and replace them with what he wants. Now for me, I said this was a bit of a journey for me, but this journey's been going on a long time actually. This step's a bit hard for me. I think back to my shopping list as a teenager of all the things that I wanted to do with my life. And since primary school, I've had my life planned pretty much. I knew what I wanted to do, I knew where I wanted to go, I had all the steps, all the goals, all the hopes and dreams, all buttoned and written out. And none of them were necessarily bad, but I had to make sure that they were God desires for me, not my desires for me. And many times I've worked on this summer included, and God has continuously challenged me to actually let go of what I planned and lay it before him and seek what he wanted for me. He's been teaching me to align my desires with his desires. The word speaks about this further in the Bible. Psalms 40 verse 8 says, "I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." And Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your paths." So let go of your desire for that particular job that's going to make your career. Let go of your desire to earn just enough money to go on that next holiday. Let go of that image that you want to portray to others. Let go of that hope of reaching the next level up in the sporting field or team. I don't speak sports, so sorry if that was wrong. Let go of your desire to be in charge of a particular project. And that was a bit of a weird one, but I really felt that that was for someone tonight. Let go of your desire to be in charge of that particular project. Let go of these worldly desires and instead seek his word for his desires for you. Ask for God desires that will bring him glory. And the thing is, this isn't a once-off process. It's a continual process. And as you go through each season in life, God's desires and plans for you will continue to evolve and change accordingly. And then verse 3 goes on, "Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." And other versions say, "Befriend faithfulness," or "feed securely on his faithfulness." Or if you're the King James, you say, "Verily thou shalt be fed." Dwell in Hebrew means to shake, it means like to settle down. And the psalmist is encouraging us to settle down in God's desires for your life. Find out what they are and then stay on the path. And he promises that he will sustain us through this path, that he'll be faithful and will protect us in his will as we seek it out. Subtitle number 3. Align your desires ultimately with him. And this is the key point. So if you've fallen asleep, listen up. So verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now remember at the beginning, I talked about we often subconsciously look at this particular verse through the lens of the last line. And we've explored how we need to align our desires away from the world and towards God's desires. However, in all of that, we're still focusing on the outcome, and we're still focusing on the desires themselves being fulfilled. So instead, we need to actually pay attention to the order of your verse, because before the words "desires of your heart" come the words "delight in the Lord." And it's a little bit obvious when you point it out. And why is this order so important? Because reading and obeying the verse in its intended order provides the right foundation. And that foundation is not our desires to be fulfilled, but it's our desire for God to be fulfilled. Desire for the Lord comes first. Take delight in the Lord. That comes first in this verse. And that's the key point. Everything comes from this. And we've seen that if we seek him on the basis of wanting our desires fulfilled, we're actually using him for our own gain. We're seeking things that may not be in our best interest and may not be in his will. Now, my family has a dog and she's very cute. Her name's Bonnie. It was her birthday this week. And she is exceptionally good at expressing her desires and pursuing them until she gets them. And we're talking about food here because 90% of her existence is about food. So her dinner time is 5 p.m. every day, but when it gets to 4:45, somehow in her doggy brain, she knows that it's almost dinner time. And she will follow you And she will whine, and she will sing, and she will dance, and she will nudge you until she gets her dinner. And in Bonnie, I can't fault her attention. I know that in that moment, I am the sole beneficiary of her full attention. I can't fault her efforts, because everything in her power that she can possibly do is being done to get dinner. But I can fault her motivation, because I know full well that she's only spending all of that time and energy on me because she wants food, and I can give her that food. And that's it. It's all about the food. And it's a bit confronting, but is that how we treat God sometimes? My dad often says that God's not a vending machine where you can choose your option and then put in your prayer and then out comes the thing that you wanted. Because even if we align our desires with him, if we're seeking him for the fulfillment of those things, we still miss the point. And I'm not saying that we need to totally discard those pursuits, because they can be good things. And they're good godly desires if you've aligned them with him. But they can't be the ultimate pursuit. Here's an example. Say you have something in your body that needs healing and you have a desire for health. That's a good thing. That's biblical. God is about restoration and about healing. But the challenging part is, are you seeking him for the healing or for him? Another example is a desire to get married or have kids. Again, a biblical desire. But is the fulfillment of getting married or having kids your ultimate goal? Or are you pursuing God for God? And they're tough. They're tough to hear. And often we don't think about it. We don't search that far down to see. And we see as we keep going, verse 4 has the word will in it. And this is a promise. God promises he will give us the desires of our hearts. And we know God is faithful to our promises. We've sang about that tonight. But if our desires are not properly ordered and are not founded in him, then we might be disappointed if they don't come to fruition. So does that mean that God wasn't faithful to that promise if he said he will fulfill the desire of your heart? No. Instead, we need to examine ourselves. What was that desire? What was its foundation? Was it in God or is it in me? Where was my delight in that moment? In my earthly happiness or in my eternal relationship with God? Because if we seek him and his desires for the sake of being fulfilled and of being happy and of being satisfied, then happiness and satisfaction is our true God. And that's such a subtle deception and one that we all fall to, that we need to be aware of, because at the heart of that is self. At its heart is the desire for self to be satisfied. Whether it's a worldly desire, whether it's a godly desire, we're still seeking for the outcome. And we need to seek God for his sake alone. Love the Psalms, talks about this again, 73:25. Who am I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. And even one of the Psalms we spoke about at Ladies' Camp this morning had been one that I'd been thinking on. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Because if we seek first God alone, we learn of him and his character. We learn his heart. We learn his will and his plan for our lives. And we start to desire that for ourselves. Because as we desire him first, his desires begin to become our desires. But ultimately, we need to desire to be fulfilled and completely satisfied by him. Which is pretty countercultural. To not seek something that serves you or it seeks to fulfill me, but instead to seek God for purely seeking God. And that's the true revelation of this whole passage, is that if we delight ourselves in God, the only desire of our heart is God. And he promises that those who seek him will find him. Jeremiah 29:12. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I read a commentary about this by Matthew Henry, and I'm just going to read it out because it just articulated everything so beautifully. We must make God our heart's delight, and then we shall have our heart's desire. He has not promised to gratify all the appetites of the body and the humours of the fancy, but to grant all the desires of the heart, or the cravings of the renewed and sanctified soul. What is the desire of the heart of a good man? It is this, to know and love and live to God, to please him and to be pleased in him. I thought that was so beautiful. So that's all been said and done. You've got your three subtitles. You've worked through all those things. Then in my journey, I think I got to this point, and we're still enjoying the scenery, still enjoying traveling. I got to this point in my learning, and then I got stuck because I was like, God, great, theology, teaching, learning, that's awesome. How do I do it? How do I do this? How is this? How can we practically go forward with delighting in the Lord? So I went back to the psalm, and we're going to keep going. Oh, we'll start on, say, on verse 4, actually. So in verse 4, and I started here because I was like, God, I don't know, how do I do this? And I looked at the original meaning for the word, and the Hebrew word for delight means to be soft and delicate. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to me initially, because I was like, how does soft relate to delight? It doesn't quite work. But then I read a commentary. Commentaries are great, guys. Read them. That explain that we are to approach God with a soft and an open heart, ready to be transformed. Psalm 25, verse 9 says, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. And it all made sense. I was like, if we are going to delight in the Lord, to get our full pleasure from him and to make him the sole objective of our heart, we need to humble ourselves. We often talk about biblical humility, being not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking less about ourselves. And when we choose to delight in the Lord, we choose to lay down ourselves, our wishes and our desires, as we've talked about tonight, and come in humility before our great and loving God with a soft heart, ready to be changed by him. So that's number one on how to delight in the Lord, is have a humble heart. Number two is to identify the desires of your heart. And we've chatted about this already. So now that we have a humble heart, we're ready to be changed. And while I was searching all this out, I actually did almost an exercise where I grabbed out my journal and I sat down and I just wrote out everything and anything that I could possibly think of that I wanted in life. A little like I did as a teenager. Anything from surface to heart level. I wasn't discriminatory, wasn't trying to be over spiritual about it or anything that came to mind. And the surface things were fairly easy and obvious, but the heart things were a little bit harder. And a good way to do this when you take the time for yourself is to look at, what are you feeding? What are you filling your time with? What are you thinking about all the time? What are you putting all your effort or your money into? And some examples of these could be, and write them down if they jump out to you. So identifying the desires of your heart. Sport. I'm just going to read them all out. Work, family, ministry, health, leisure, travel, relationships, success, independence, control, belonging, wealth, power, safety, reputation, companionship, body image, finances, pleasure. Any of those things, if they jumped out at you, take it home and do this exercise. Write it all out. And now have a look at the list that you just wrote. And this is what I did. And again, we're just going to go through what we did tonight. Number one, align your desires away from the world. If there's any desires of the flesh in there that don't honour God, let go of them. And that's going to take a while for some of those things. The second is align your desires with God's desires. Any of the desires there that do honour God, make sure you examine them and make sure that they line up with what he wants for you, that they line up with his word. And then the third one is align your desires ultimately with him alone. And this is the heart check. Where is your true desire? Are any of these things that you've just written down, even the God desires, are they taking precedence over him? So the third thing comes in verse 5. We'll move to the next one. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. So the word in this verse for commit in Hebrew means to roll. Again, another one that I was like, makes sense, a bit strange, God. What are you trying to say here? But the literal mean of this line is to roll your way upon the Lord. It means to bring your heart and your burdens before him. to confess what does not honour him and to repent when your heart did not desire him above all else. So the third point here is to confess. We've identified our desires, now confess, bring them to him. And this verse promises that as we do that, as we bring our burdens and confessions to God and we entrust them to him, he will do this, meaning he will give us the desires of our heart. Meaning he will be faithful in fulfilling the ultimate desire of our heart in revealing himself to us and filling us with himself. And that's the amazing work of salvation, that we have available to us an intimate relationship where we can meet with the God of the universe and be wholly satisfied with him. Verse 6 is our next point, and this one's really important, I think, and it's to realise that God delights in you. Verse 6 says, he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. In order to fully delight in God, we need to realise that he actually delights in us. The Hebrew word for righteousness means rightness, and the word translated for dawn means light. Because of Jesus' saving work at the cross, we've been made right with God. And so as forgiven and free children, we can wear our righteousness, which is Jesus' righteousness given to us by his blood. And as we live that out, it shines as a light to the world, a point to God's glory. I'm sure you've heard verses about that. And what a beautiful picture this is. Just as the dawn light shines over the earth, symbolizing a new beginning of a new day, so too does Jesus make us right with God, symbolizing our new beginning in a relationship with him. And I feel that's a really important point tonight. Some people struggle to delight in God because they don't believe that he delights in them. And there's a verse in Zephaniah, I don't actually know how to say that book. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And that's chapter 3, verse 17, if you want to look at it later. Notice that it said, God takes great delight in you and rejoices over you. And we even see in the New Testament that God delighted in Jesus. In Matthew, when Jesus encounters the Holy Spirit, he says, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. If God delighted in Jesus, his son, and Jesus died on the cross so that our relationship may be made right with God, so too does he delight in you, his redeemed child, by grace. And this is the fifth and the final point, is verses 7 and 8, and it's be still and remain in his presence. So we've worked through all these steps. As we've worked through the psalm, we've examined our hearts, we've let go of ourselves, we've chosen to align ourselves with God and desire him alone. What's left to do? Nothing. Be still. Verses 7 and 8 say, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. So verses 7 and 8 here are warning us, just like verse 1, not to be angry, not to worry, not to fret. Don't allow your eyes to be distracted by what's happening around you, because you're commanded to be still. With your eyes on God. Rest in him and remain in him. Get to know him, surrender to his will, and just be in his presence. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This verse in, I think it's verse 7, says patiently. The Hebrew actually means to dance for joy in this one. And so we're commanded here to stop what we're doing, come into God's presence and just enjoy him. And if for you that looks like actually dancing, great, go for it. You are being still in the presence of God by focusing on him alone. I know for me, worship and music is the space that I simply enjoy just being with God. Whatever it is for you, take some time out to be still. And delighting in God doesn't stop there. That's just a space to physically learn how to be still in his presence. As you practice it and go forward, your thoughts will learn to be still in him each day. Your emotions will learn to be still in him. Your soul will learn to be still in him. To delight in the Lord, ultimately desiring him is an everyday and lifelong pursuit. Pursuing Jesus, it's what we're talking about this year. And the wonderful news is that at the end of all that, he's promised that as we do this, as we delight in him for his sake, he will fulfill the desires of our heart as we are completely satisfied by him. So that's it tonight. You've got some points there. And I'd love for you to go home tonight or sometime this week. Take those points, do that exercise, write out everything, and then sit there and look through and read through them and allow God to speak to you about what he wants for your life and the moments where you need to fully and completely focus on him. Thank you.